Okay, go ahead and have a seat.
Okay, I kan godt sætte jer ned.
And you might remember we are continuing through the book of Mark.
Som I kan huske, så fortsætter vi gennem Markus evangeliet.
For those of you who haven't been with us, we have been taking an overview.
For dem som ikke har været tidligere, så er vi i gang med at tage et overblik.
Of the whole gospel of Mark.
Over hele Markus evangeliet.
With highlighting in different areas.
Ved at fremhæve specielle områder.
We're looking at visible themes.
Vi kigger på synlige temaer.
And some that are a little bit more for us to discover.
Og nogle af dem der gemmer sig lidt mere.
We have now started the exact middle.
Vi er nu begyndt præcis i midten.
Of the Gospel of Mark.
Af Markus evangeliet.
You might remember that we stated last night.
I kan huske at sidste i går aftes.
That Mark is essentially a passion week study with a long introduction.
At Markus er en den sidste ja, en studie af Jesus sidste uge.
And with that in mind,
og med det for øje,
what we have covered up to this far,
så det vi har dækket indtil nu,
is almost 2 years of Jesus ministry.
Er faktisk næsten 2 år af Jesus tjeneste.
We are going to see by the time we're done tonight,
vi skal se før vi slutter i aften,
that we will be less than 6 months away from Jesus crucifixion.
At vi er mindre end 6 måneder fra Jesu korsfæstelse.
As we saw in the earlier studies,
som vi så i de tidligere studier,
there was a lot of focus, especially in David's part,
så var der meget fokus, specielt fra Davids side,
on the things that Jesus taught,
på de ting som Jesus underviste,
and the things that Jesus did,
og de ting som Jesus gjorde,
his teaching,
hans undervisning,
and his power,
og hans magt.
Now what's going to happen?
Det der sker nu,
is we're going to see,
at vi vil se,
a separation,
en opdeling.
You could say the overall theme for this section,
du kunne godt sige det altoverdækkende tema i den her sektion,
is man's ways,
er menneskets måder,
versus God's path,
i modsat til Guds vej.
We're going to see that in the beginning,
vi skal se at i begyndelsen,
Jesus came,
kom Jesus,
not really fulfilling their expectations,
og indfriede ikke rigtig deres forventninger,
but close enough that many could handle him,
men tæt nok til at der var mange der lige kunne klare ham.
But now we're going to see in this next section,
men det vi nu skal se i den næste afdeling,
that even the disciples,
at selv disciplene,
are faced with their lack of understanding,
bliver stillet over for deres manglende forståelse,
as well as those who have already established themselves,
ligesom dem som allerede har etableret sig selv,
as enemies of the cross,
som fjender af korset.
Let's start in verse 1 of chapter 7.
Skal vi starte i vers 1 af kapitel 7.
Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Go ahead.
Ja, farisæerne og nogle skriftkloge, som var kommet fra Jerusalem, samlede sig omkring Jesus.
Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault.
Og de så, at nogle af hans disciple spiste med urene hænder, det vil sige uden at vaske dem.
For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders.
Og farisæerne og jøderne i det hele taget spiser nemlig ikke, før de har vasket hænderne med en håndfuld vand for at overholde de gamles overleveringer.
When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and there are many other things which they received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches.
Og de spiser ikke noget fra torvet, uden at de skyller det, og der er meget andet, som de overholder ifølge overleveringen. At skylle bæger, krus, kortøj og bænke. Ja.
Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?
Og farisæerne og de skriftkloge spurgte ham så, hvorfor følger dine disciple ikke de gamles overlevering, men spiser med urene hænder?
As I stated before, I love how God works on these conferences.
Som jeg har sagt det tidligere, så elsker jeg den måde Gud han arbejder på de her konferencer.
You might remember one of the things that David began preparing us for.
I kan måske huske en af de ting som David begyndte at forberede os på.
Is the way Jesus did things versus the way it had always been.
At den måde Jesus gjorde tingene på i modsætning til den måde det altid blev gjort på.
Here we see it coming to a head.
Her der ser vi det komme på en prøve.
Is that a colloquialism? Is that an English thing? Here we see it coming to a fight.
Ja, det er her, det virkelig bliver sat på prøve.
At first they could put up with this unorthodox approach.
Til at starte med kunne de godt acceptere den her uortodokse fremgang.
But now his manner of life and his disciples was a matter of bumming them out or an affront to them.
Men nu blev hans livsstil og hans disciple et spørgsmål om, og at de begyndte virkelig at provokere dem.
They had a way of doing things.
De havde en bestemt måde at gøre tingene på.
That Jesus and his disciples weren't doing.
Som Jesus og hans disciple ikke fulgte.
And so now they say, why aren't you doing it our way?
Og nu spørger de ham, hvorfor gør I det ikke på vores måde?
So Jesus answers them.
Så Jesus svarer dem.
Verse 6.
He
answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
Men han sagde til dem, Esajas profeterede rigtigt om jer hyklere, sådan som der står skrevet, dette folk ærer mig med læberne, men deres hjerte er langt borte fra mig. Forgæves styrker de mig, for det de lærer af menneskebud.
And then he finishes in verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do.
Og så slutter han af i vers 8. I har tilsidesat Guds bud og overholder kun menneskers overlevering.
And then he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition.
Og så sagde han til dem, hvor kønt det er, I forkaster Guds bud for at indføre jeres egen overlevering.
Kind of get the idea that he was going a little farther than just the washing of hands, don't you?
Man får ligesom det indtryk, at han gik lidt længere end bare det med at vaske hænder.
They were only questioning about the washing of hands. He brought in the whole rest of the kitchen.
De havde kun sat spørgsmålstegn over det at vaske hænder, men han bragte alt det andet ind også.
Because exactly as Isaiah said,
fordi lige præcis som Esajas havde sagt,
they were rejecting the work of God.
Så forkastede de Guds værk arbejde.
And substituting rules.
Og erstattede dem med regler.
Isn't it amazing?
Er det ikke utroligt?
That many times we start out just simply wanting God to reveal himself and do a great thing.
Mange gange så starter vi med bare at ønske at Gud han vil åbenbare sig selv.
And we're so excited that God would work in our life.
Og vi er så spændte på at se Gud arbejde i vores liv.
And then we decide to give God a hand.
Og så beslutter vi at hjælpe Gud, give ham en hånd.
And sometimes the first thing we do is set up the rules.
Og det første vi nogle gange gør er simpelthen at opsætte nogle regelsæt.
And then we begin following the rules.
Og så begynder vi at følge de regler.
And we say to God in a sense, we don't need you.
Og så siger vi på en måde til Gud, at vi har ikke brug for dig.
I got my rules.
Jeg har mine egne regler.
If I just do it by the rules.
Hvis jeg bare gør det efter mine regler.
That's good enough.
Så er det godt nok.
And eventually, God is not needed.
Og efter noget tid, så synes vi, at der ikke er behov for Gud.
Here we see this beginning of controversy.
Her ser vi begyndelsen på kontroversen.
Between God's purpose.
Mellem Guds sag.
And man's way.
Mellem Guds formål og menneskets egen vej.
God's purpose.
Guds formål.
Is delivered to us through His word.
Er leveret til os igennem Hans ord.
And it frees us.
Og det befrier os.
Man's way is delivered through the flesh, and it binds us.
Og det binder os.
Remember, the Son has come to set you free.
Husk, at Sønnen er kommet for at befri dig.
Here were the disciples enjoying Jesus.
Her var disciplene, de nød Jesus.
And the religious men of the day,
og de religiøse mænd af den dag,
wanted to lay a trip on him.
Ønskede at fange ham i en fælde.
And wanted to bind him up.
Ønskede at binde ham.
And wanted to put him underneath these rules and regulations.
Og ønskede at underkaste ham de her regelsæt, de havde lavet.
Instead of enjoying the presence of Jesus.
I stedet for bare at nyde Jesu nærvær.
Jesus would not stand for that.
Men det vil Jesus ikke finde sig i.
And he will not stand for it today.
Og det vil han heller ikke finde sig i dag.
Look at what he says further. For Moses said, verse 10.
Se hvad han siger i vers 10. Moses har jo sagt,
honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.
Ær din far og din mor, og den der forbander sin far eller mor skal lide døden.
But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is a gift to God.
Men I siger, hvis et menneske siger til sin far eller sin mor, det du skal have som hjælp for mig skal være korban, det vil sige en tempelgave.
Then you no longer let him do anything for his father and his mother.
Så tillader I ikke længere, at han gør noget for sin far eller sin mor.
Making the word of God no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do.
I sætter Guds ord ud af kraft med jeres egen overlevering og traditioner, og meget andet af den her slags gør I også.
Okay, let's briefly explain what he's trying to say here.
Lad os lige prøve kort at forklare, hvad det er, han forklarer her.
In the day he lived,
i den dag han levede, den tid han levede,
the religious leaders,
så var de religiøse ledere,
maybe made a little money.
De tjente nogle penge.
Maybe had a little bigger house.
De havde måske lidt større hus end de andre.
And their parents,
deres forældre,
maybe were no longer employed because they were feble and couldn't work.
De havde ikke længere noget job, fordi de måske var ude af stand til at arbejde.
And their parents would come to them and say, according to Moses,
og deres forældre kom så og sagde til dem, ifølge Moseloven,
you're to honor me.
Så skal du ære mig.
Now the word honor doesn't just mean you're a good mom, you're a good dad. Thank you on Mother's Day, thank you on Father's Day.
Og ordet ære betyder ikke bare at man sender dem et kort på mors dag og fars dag og flink over for dem.
It means to pay respect, it means to highly esteem, it means to even do good for.
Det betyder at vise respekt for dem og tænke højt om dem og udvise respekt for dem i det hele taget.
But these religious leaders,
men de her religiøse ledere,
would say to their parents,
vil sige til deres forældre,
I can't let you stay in my fancy house.
Jeg kan ikke lade dig bo her i mit fremragende hus.
I can't let you eat from my fine food.
Jeg kan ikke lade dig spise min dejlige mad.
I can't pay for that doctor bill.
Jeg kan ikke betale for din doktorregning, lægeregning.
Because you see, it's all korban.
Fordi det hele det er korban.
The word korban means dedicated to God.
Og korban betyder at det er dedikeret til Gud.
But the implication is I'm just holding on to it until he comes.
Men det hentyder til at man bare holder fast til det indtil Gud kommer.
It's his, but I'm using it.
Det er hans, men jeg bruger det i mellemtiden.
In other words, what they've done is taken the word of God that says something powerful.
Det de har gjort er faktisk at de har taget noget som Guds ord på en kraftfuld måde udtrykker.
And made a religious excuse.
Og så lavede det ind til en religiøs undskyldning.
And Jesus says in verse 13,
og Jesus siger i vers 13,
that you have essentially taken the power out of God's word,
at i bund og grund så har I sat Guds ord ud af kraft,
by your traditions.
Bare ved jeres traditioner.
You know, traditions are an amazing thing.
Traditioner er en utrolig ting.
I tend to call them sacred cows.
Jeg kalder dem hellige køer.
You know what I mean?
I ved hvad jeg mener.
Maybe you've had a sacred cow in your church or a church experience.
Det kan være, I har haft nogle hellige køer i jeres kirke, jeres kirkebaggrund.
Something that started out as a good idea.
Et eller andet, som startede som en god idé.
Now, I'm not familiar with this church, and so don't take any offense.
Jeg kender ikke den her kirke, så I skal ikke blive fornærmet.
But I'll use maybe a visible illustration.
Men det kan være, jeg bruger en synlig eksempel.
Let's say when this church building was built.
Prøv at forestille dig, da den her kirke, den bygning blev bygget.
That they're knowing with my trip around the town,
og på baggrund af min tur rundt i byen,
there are many people, ladies in this church,
så der er mange mennesker og kvinder i den her kirke,
that probably have gardens,
som har haver,
and in their gardens they have beautiful flowers,
og i deres haver har de nogle smukke blomster,
and some lady,
og en kvinde,
remember this is fictional,
og husk nu at det er bare noget jeg laver og finder på,
some lady decided I want to show gratitude to my church.
Og en kvinde finder på, at hun vil gerne vise noget taknemmelighed over for sin kirke.
And so on this Sunday morning, I'll go out to my garden.
Og på den her søndag morgen, der vil jeg gå ud i min have.
And I'll cut flowers.
Og jeg vil plukke nogle blomster.
And I'll put them in a vase.
Put dem i en vase.
And I'll bring them to church.
Og tage dem med over i kirken.
And present it to the leadership.
Og så vise den for ledelsen.
And the leadership says, "Oh, beautiful flowers, wonderful vase."
Og ledelsen siger, "Ej, det er nogle smukke blomster, sådan en flot vase."
We're so happy with their beauty. We'll put them up front where everyone can see them.
Vi er så glade for den her skønhed. Vi vil sætte den op foran, hvor alle kan se det.
And so out of the first couple of weeks,
og så efter de første par uger,
flowers show up.
Så er der flere blomster der dukker op.
Because people want to bring flowers.
Fordi folk har lyst til at bringe blomster.
But after a while,
men efter et stykke tid,
It starts becoming a regular thing.
Så begynder det bare at blive en tradition, et normalt ting.
And unfortunately, the lady who first brought the flowers.
Og desværre så den kvinde, som først bragte blomsterne.
She's now grown sick.
Hun er blevet syg.
And she's in a care facility, let's say.
Og hun er et behandlingssted.
And no longer can go out to her garden and do flowers.
Hun kan ikke længere gå ud i sin have og tage
blomster. So the church decides they want to have a flower committee.
Så kirken beslutter sig for at have en blomsterkomité.
And they have flower sign-up sheets.
Og de har en liste, hvor du kan skrive dig op til at tage dig blomsterne.
And they designate who's going to have flowers.
Og så finder de ud af, hvem der skal bringe blomster den uge.
And that goes on for 20 years.
Det fortsætter i 20 år.
And at the end of the 20 years, somebody says, you know, I would like to redecorate the front of the sanctuary.
Og efter der er gået 20 år, der så en, der måske siger, jeg kunne godt tænke mig at lave lidt om med de her blomsterdekorationer.
And the leadership of the church says, that's a great idea, but don't touch the flowers.
Og så er der måske nogen fra ledelsen, der siger, det er en god idé, men du skal ikke røre ved blomsterne.
Why not touch the flowers? Well, because they're just part of the scenery.
Og hvis du spørger, hvorfor du ikke må røre dem, så er det
bare
en del af det.
Essential element of our church.
Det er en essentiel ting af vores kirke.
And it's become a sacred cow.
Og det er blevet til en hellig ko.
So often what happens is things that begin very good because we want to show something to God.
Det der ofte sker, når der er noget, der begynder på en god måde, fordi vi vil vise Gud nogle ting.
After a while becomes sacred cows.
Og selvom det var en starter som en god idé, så kan det blive til en hellig ko med tiden.
Jesus comes along.
Jesus han kom.
And he kills the cow.
Han dræber koen.
And they get upset.
Og så bliver de sure.
Now notice what else Jesus does in this situation.
Men prøv at lægge mærke til, hvad han ellers gør i den her situation.
Look at verse 14.
Prøv at kigge på vers 14.
And when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear."
Og han kaldte atter skaren til sig og sagde, "Hør mig alle sammen og forstå, der er intet, som kommer ind i et menneske udefra, der kan gøre urent, men det er det, som kommer ud af et menneske, der gør menneske urent. Den, som har ører til at høre med, han skal høre."
You know, Jesus could have just simply said what he said to the Pharisees.
Jesus kunne bare have nøjes med at sige det, han sagde til farisæerne.
And that might have accomplished part of his purpose.
Og så havde det sikkert opfyldt noget af hans formål.
But because he's heavenly minded,
men fordi han har det himmelske perspektiv,
he called the whole multitude together.
Så kalder han hele skaren sammen.
I mean, think about it. Sometimes we look at the Bible with holy eyes.
Prøv at tænke lidt over det. Nogle gange så kigger vi på Bibelen med hellige øjne.
We say, "Oh, what a beautiful scene."
Og vi tænker, nej, hvor er det en smuk scene.
But let's try and be eyewitnesses of this.
Men prøv at gøre jer selv til øjenvidner af den her scene.
Let's pretend that Jesus was downstairs eating dinner with us tonight.
Prøv at forestille jer, at Jesus var med os nedenunder og spise aftensmad her til aften.
And we're there eating away.
Og vi sidder der og spiser.
And in shows up all of the religious leaders of the county.
Og så pludselig så dukker alle de religiøse ledere op fra den her omegn.
And they tramp down to the basement.
Og de tramper ned i kælderen.
And they say, "You're not eating this food right. You haven't washed your hands the right way."
Og de siger, du spiser ikke den her mad på den rigtige måde. Du har slet ikke vasket dine hænder.
And Jesus in the privacy of the basement says what we've talked about here.
Og så siger Jesus i kælderens privathed det som vi lige har snakket om.
But he's not done.
Men han er ikke færdig.
Because he goes out to the road.
Så går han ud på vejen herude.
He stops traffic.
Han stopper hele trafikken.
He goes down the street.
Han går ned ad gaden.
He knocks on some doors.
Han går ned og banker på dørene.
He goes to the center of town.
Han går ned i centrum.
Gathers everybody around.
Samler alle sammen han kan finde.
And starts teaching them about this.
Og begynder så at undervise dem om det her.
And he says it's not what comes into a man that defiles.
Og han siger, det er ikke det der kommer ind i et menneske som gør ham urent.
It was what starts inside of a man and comes out that defiles.
Det er det, som begynder inden i en mand og kommer ud af ham, som gør ham uren.
It's not whether you wash on the outside.
Det handler ikke om du vasker dig på.
It's not whether you wear certain holy clothes.
Det handler ikke om overfladen eller hvad du går klædt i.
It's what's in your heart.
Det er hvad der er inde i dit hjerte.
See, that's the difference.
Det er det, der er forskellen.
Man goes from the outside in.
Mennesker kigger udefra ind.
And God goes from the inside out.
Men Gud han kigger indenfra ud.
Think of it this way, in our normal schools,
prøv at tænke på det på den her måde. I vores normale skoler,
we learn that if somebody has a problem,
så lærer vi, at hvis der er nogen, der har et problem,
change their environment.
Så skal du bare ændre deres miljø.
Maybe they got in with the wrong crowd of people.
Det kan være, de bare begyndte at mænge sig med den forkerte.
Maybe they were in a bad school.
Det kan være, de var i en dårlig skole.
Maybe they had a bad set of family.
Det kan være, de havde en dårlig familiesætning.
So change families.
Så ændre familien.
Change schools.
Ændre skolen.
Change their environment.
Skift deres miljø.
And they'll be a better person.
Så skal de nok blive en bedre person.
In America, that's the whole reason why we bust people for a while.
I USA, der er det hele den grund til, at vi bust.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we put kids on buses, took them out of their town and put them to another town.
Ja, vi transporterer dem med busser for at komme et langt stykke væk til skolen.
You know what happened?
Ved I, hvad der skete?
Those juvenile delinquents were just as juvenile delinquents over in the new town.
Dem som var ungdomsforbrydere, de var lige så kriminelle, når de kom til en ny by.
Do you have a word, juvenile delinquents, in the one-armed bandit?
No.
Not that.
Yeah.
Okay. But Jesus comes along.
Og så kommer Jesus.
And says, change the heart.
Og siger, at vi skal ændre på hjertet.
And if you change the heart, then the outside will change.
Og hvis du ændrer på hjertet, så skal din overflade nok også skifte sig.
Let me give a personal example.
Lad os prøve at give en personlig eksempel.
I used to be totally different than I am now.
Jeg plejede at være fuldstændig anderledes end sådan som jeg er nu.
I was a hippie.
Jeg var en hippie.
Peace, love.
Fred og kærlighed. Og hash.
What? Hash?
Yeah.
Hash. Well, you know, that was one of them.
Yeah, that was the closest one.
Okay, that was the closest one you could come up with. And all kinds of other things.
Og alle mulige andre ting.
I was very much for the quote-unquote feminist movement.
Og jeg var meget for den såkaldte feministiske bevægelse.
I argued vehemently for abortions.
Jeg argumenterede meget for abort.
I thought we should legalize drugs.
Jeg synes, vi skulle gøre stoffer lovlige.
Lower the drinking age.
Og sætte drikkegrænsen ned.
Do away with marriage contracts.
Og fjerne alt, hvad der hed ægteskabspakter.
And all kinds of other strange stuff.
Og alle mulige andre mærkelige ting.
And I realized,
jeg indså,
that when I came to Jesus Christ,
at da jeg kom til Jesus Kristus,
God didn't care what I thought.
Så var Gud fuldstændig ligeglad med, hvad jeg tænkte.
That I had to learn what he thought.
Det handlede om, at jeg skulle lære, hvad han tænkte.
And he changed my whole view of the world.
Og han ændrede fuldstændig min hele indstilling til verden.
Changed my whole view of life.
Hele indstilling til livet.
Because it proceeded from the heart outward.
Fordi det sprang ud af mit hjerte.
What we're going to see in this next part, just briefly, because we don't have enough time to go through verse by verse all of the.
Det vi skal se i det næste afsnit, fordi vi har ikke tid til at gå ind i vers for vers i aften.
I want you to see something in verse 17.
Jeg vil have, at I skal lægge mærke til noget i vers 17.
When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable.
Da han var kommet inden døren væk fra skaren, spurgte hans disciple om lignelsen.
And look at his question.
Og kig på hans spørgsmål.
He said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?
Han sagde til dem, så er der også uforstandige. Fatter I ikke, at alt det, som kommer ind i et menneske udefra, ikke kan gøre det urent? For det, der kommer ind i hjertet, men ned, det, der kommer ind i, kommer ikke ind i hjertet, men ned i maven, og det kommer ud igen.
Rather than get tripped up,
i stedet for at blive fanget i en fælde,
on what he's trying to teach the disciples here,
på det han prøver at undervise disciplerne her.
I want you to see that even though the disciples have been with Jesus for 2 years, when he makes a statement such as this, they don't understand.
Jeg vil gerne have, at I prøver at lægge mærke til, at selvom at disciplerne har brugt 2 år sammen med Jesus, så forstår de stadigvæk ikke den udmelding, han kom med her.
God's purposes,
Guds formål,
man's way,
og menneskets egen vej.
They didn't understand God's purposes.
De forstod ikke Guds formål.
They thought of man's way.
De tænkte bare på menneskets façon.
Now let's move on a little bit further.
Så lad os prøve at springe lidt længere hen.
In the next story we read of this woman, he goes to a place.
I den næste historie der læser vi om en kvinde, hvor han går hen.
Called Tyre and Sidon.
Kaldet Tyrus og Sidon.
Tyre and Sidon is outside of the land of Israel.
Tyrus og Sidon ligger uden for landet Israel.
It is an area of the Gentiles.
Det er hedningens område.
As he is there vacationing with his disciples.
Og mens han er der på en måde på ferie sammen med disciplene.
And by the way, that's why he went there.
Og det var forresten også derfor han tog derud for ferien.
It was a little getaway conference at Ødsted.
Det var en lille konference for lige at komme lidt væk fra det hele i Ødsted.
But while he was there, he ran into this woman.
Men mens han var der, så rendte han ind i den her kvinde.
According to verse 26,
og ifølge vers 26,
she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth.
Så var hun hedning af syrisk fønetisk herkomst.
And she kept asking him to cast this demon out of her daughter.
Og hun blev ved med at spørge ham om at kaste den her dæmon ud af sin datter.
And she kept asking him to cast this demon out of her daughter.
Og hun blev ved med at spørge ham om at kaste den her dæmon ud af datteren.
And she kept asking him to cast this demon out of her daughter.
Og hun blev ved med at spørge ham om han ikke ville kaste dæmonen ud af datteren.
This was a woman on a mission.
Det her, det var en kvinde der havde en mission.
She had heard about this man.
Hun havde hørt om den her mand.
And she had asked him to cast this demon out of her daughter.
Og nu havde hun så spurgt den her mand om at helbrede
datteren. Are you getting this?
Forstår I det her?
She had asked him to cast this demon out of her daughter.
Hun havde spurgt ham om at kaste dæmonen ud af datteren.
That maybe is a couple times less than she asked him to cast this demon out of her daughter.
Det er måske nævnt et par gange færre end hvad hun har bedt Jesus om.
And Jesus said to her.
Og Jesus sagde til hende.
Verse 27.
I vers 27.
Let the children be first, filled first, for it is not good to take of the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.
Lad først børnene blive mætte, for det er ikke rigtigt at tage børnenes brød og give det til de små hunde.
What he's saying here is that it is not good to take food off of the table and give it to the animals. The word little dogs here is a little different the way he used it versus the way she used it.
Det han siger her er, at det ikke er godt at tage madet af bordet og give det til de små hunde. Og det ord han bruger for små hunde er lidt anderledes end det vi ser ellers.
In the original Danish.
I det originale danske.
Just kidding. In the original Greek.
I den originale græske udgave.
But it was really Aramaic.
Men det var i virkeligheden aramæisk.
The word he used for dogs.
Det ord han brugte for hunde.
Is the street dogs.
Er gadehunde.
The mongrels.
Ja, de vilde hunde på gaden.
He says it's not good to take the food that's intended for the children of the house.
Og han sagde det var ikke godt at tage den mad som var ment for børnene i huset.
And throw it to the street dogs.
Så kaste dem ud til gadehunden.
He was reflecting.
Han afspejlede.
The attitude of Jewish society that day.
Det jødiske samfunds holdning for den tid.
Now I'm going to show you it wasn't his attitude, it was Jewish society's attitude.
Jeg skal nok vise her, det var ikke Jesus holdning, men det jødiske samfunds.
Ways of men, purpose of God.
Husk menneskets vej og Guds formål.
She answers him.
Hun svarer ham så.
And says,
og siger,
"Yes, Lord."
Ja, herre.
I agree.
Jeg er enig med dig.
Yet even the little dogs,
men selv de små hunde,
under the table,
dem der er under bordet,
eat from the children's crumbs.
Spiser fra børnenes krummer.
The word she used for little dogs,
det ord som hun bruger for lille, små hunde,
is the small household pet.
Er et lille husdyr.
The beloved animal.
Et kæledyr.
That sits at the children's feet.
Som børnene elsker, som sidder ved deres fødder.
And even the children will give a little bit.
Og selv børnene vil kaste en lille krumme ned til dem, et lille stykke mad ned til dem.
How many gave some off their table to a little dog in the house?
Hvor mange herinde har givet et lille stykke af deres mad ned til en hund i deres hjem?
And you had no problem with it.
Og det er ikke noget problem med.
And he says to her.
Og han siger så til hende.
For this saying.
For den her tale ordsprog.
Go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter.
Gå din egen vej, fordi dæmonen er kommet ud af din datter.
And of course, when she got home,
og selvfølgelig så snart hun kom hjem,
her daughter was healed.
Så fandt hun barnet liggende på sengen og var helbredt.
Now you might say, why did this happen?
Og så spørger du måske, hvorfor skete det her?
Is it just that Mark is showing to us an event?
Er det bare fordi Markus han afspejler en tilfældig begivenhed?
A wonderful event.
En dejlig begivenhed.
I put it to you.
Jeg vil påstå over for jer.
That this event stands in stark contrast with the preceding event.
At den her begivenhed står i skarp kontrast til den foregående begivenhed.
That the disciples.
At disciplene.
Who were Jews.
Som var jøder.
Didn't understand the purposes of God.
Ikke forstod Guds formål.
And thought in the ways of man.
Men de tænkte i stedet for på menneskets måder.
But the Syrophoenician woman,
men den syrisk-fenisiske kvinde,
understood the purposes of God,
forstod Guds formål,
and didn't care about the ways of man.
Og var ligeglad med menneskets måde.
She had no hang-ups.
Hun havde ikke nogen
problems.
Ja, problemer.
Had no problema.
Ingen problemer.
With God working in her life.
Med at Gud han skulle arbejde i hendes liv.
She expected it.
Hun forventede det.
Because she had no preconceived notion of how God was supposed to work.
For hun havde ikke nogen forudindtagelse om hvordan Gud han skulle arbejde.
Or had a sacred cow.
Eller havde en hellig ko.
That he would have to kill first.
Som han først lige blev nødt til at slå ihjel.
Before he could work.
Før han kunne gøre noget i hendes liv.
Now we're told in the next section,
så får vi at vide i det næste afsnit,
that after leaving from the area of Tyre and Sidon,
at efter at de tog væk,
he came back to, I'm sorry,
ja, kom han tilbage igen,
the region known as the Decapolis.
Til den der, det område der blev kaldt Decapolis.
Let me show you something kind of interesting.
Lad mig lige prøve at vise noget der er ret interessant.
Do you know what the Decapolis is?
Ved I hvad Decapolis er?
It's a Latin word.
Det er et latinsk ord.
Roman word.
Et romersk ord.
Dec means 10.
Dec betyder 10.
Opolis is cities.
Opolis betyder byer.
It is the region of the 10 cities.
Det er området for de 10 byer.
10 cities which mainly were on the western and northern side or eastern and northern side of the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River.
10 byer som var på den nordøstlige side af ja, Galileahavet Genesaret.
Which just so happened to be the same place that the guy who had demons in him that were called Legion lived.
Som tilfældigvis var det samme område, hvor ham manden, som havde den, de dæmoner i sig, som blev kaldet Legion, boede.
When we last saw this man being cured,
da vi sidst så den her mand blive helbredt,
he wanted to go with Jesus.
Så havde han lyst til at følge efter Jesus bagefter.
But what did Jesus tell him?
Men hvad var det Jesus fortalte ham i stedet for?
Stay here.
Bliv her.
The next time Jesus visits in this gospel the Decapolis.
Så næste gang Jesus han kommer tilbage til det her område i Decapolis.
Instead of the people of that area asking Jesus to leave.
I stedet for at de folk der er i det her område beder Jesus om at gå igen.
Look at verse 32.
Så prøv at kigge på vers 32.
Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him.
Og så kom folk til ham med en, der var døv og havde svært ved at tale, og de bad ham om at lægge hånden på ham.
And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears and spat and touched his tongue.
Og Jesus tog ham afsides væk fra skaren, stak sin finger i hans øre, spyttede og rørte ved hans tunge, så op mod himlen.
This is so neat.
Det er virkelig utroligt.
When he left the last time, the town is saying, "Get out!"
Sidst han tog derfra, så bad folk om at ham om at forsvinde.
When he comes to the shore this time, the multitude is bringing somebody who's sick.
Og den her gang, når han kommer tilbage, så bringer de en, der var syg til ham.
You see, they're understanding the purpose of God.
Se, nu forstår de Guds formål.
And they're not hung up with the ways of man.
Og de beskæftiger sig ikke længere med menneskets vej.
They had been turned around since the event with Legion.
De var blevet vendt om efter helbredelsen af dæmonfyren.
And of course, we know the rest of the story.
Og vi kender selvfølgelig resten af historien.
He healed them.
Han helbredte ham.
Verse 37 says, and they were astonished beyond measure.
Og i vers 37 står der, at de var overvældet af forundring.
And he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak.
Og de sagde, han har gjort alting vel, og han får både de døve til at høre og de stumme til at tale.
What a changed attitude from before.
Hvilken forandring af holdning i forhold til før.
You see, those people probably met the man who had legion.
Fordi de her mennesker har formentlig mødt den mand, som havde dæmonerne tidligere.
And they heard about the great works of God.
Og de hørte om Guds forunderlige værk i ham.
But now they saw him for themselves.
Men nu så de Jesus med egne øjne.
But we're not done.
Men vi er ikke færdige nu.
Look at the next verse.
Prøv at kigge på det næste vers.
In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them,
i de dage var der igen en stor skare, som ikke havde noget at spise, og Jesus kaldte disciplene til sig og sagde til dem,
I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat.
Jeg ynkes over skaren, for de har allerede været med her i 3 dage, og de har ikke noget at spise.
And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint in the way, for some of them have come from afar.
Men hvis jeg sender dem sultne hjem, så vil de blive udmattet undervejs, og nogle af dem er kommet langvejs fra.
Now, again, I want to stop for a moment.
Igen, der har jeg lyst til lige at stoppe op et øjeblik.
And review this story for us.
Og så prøve at betragte den her historie for os alle sammen.
The multitude came bringing one man who was sick.
Skaren kom til Jesus og bragte en mand, som var syg.
But they stayed for 3 days.
Men de blev hos ham i 3 dage.
Did you see that?
Lagde I mærke til det?
It's a detail that's very important.
Det er en detalje, som er meget vigtig.
None of them left.
Der var ikke nogen, der gik igen.
Because they were discovering the purposes of God.
Fordi de oplevede, og de begyndte at finde ud af Guds formål.
They were discovering a refreshing way.
De begyndte at opdage en forfriskende facon, måde.
Not the commandments of man.
Ikke menneskets regelsæt.
Not rules and regulations.
Ikke regler og befalinger.
Not thou shalt nots and thou shalt nots.
Ikke du må, eller du skal, eller du må ikke.
But love incarnate teaching them the way of righteousness.
Men kærligheden åbenbaret for dem, og han lærte dem retfærdighedens vej.
They didn't care about food.
De var faktisk ligeglade med mad.
They didn't care about taking the afternoon off to lounge around.
De bekymrede sig heller ikke om at tage eftermiddagen fri for at bare drive den af.
They were hearing the word.
De hørte til ordet.
They were encountering the word.
Og de blev udsat for ordet.
Hungry?
De var sultne.
Doesn't matter.
Det er lige meget.
I'm with Jesus.
Jeg er hos Jesus.
It was Jesus who decided they needed help.
Det var Jesus, som fandt ud af, at de havde brug for hjælp.
And so he turns to his disciples.
Og han vender sig så til disciplene.
And he says to them, hey, let's help them out.
Og han siger til dem, lad os hjælpe dem.
Look at what the disciples say.
Og så prøv at kigge på, hvad disciplene siger.
Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?
Så sagde disciplene til ham, hvorfor kan nogen få noget mad til dem og skal mætte alle dem her ude i ødemarken?
Now you gotta remember, these are the people they build churches and name them after.
I skal huske, at det her er de mennesker, som de senere vil bygge kirker op og kalde kirkerne efter deres navn.
And they're going, we don't know.
Og de står og siger, det ved vi ikke.
Now it would be understandable if they'd said, we don't know.
Det var forståeligt, hvis de sagde, det ved vi ikke.
If they hadn't been there with him when he fed the 5,000.
Hvis de slet ikke havde været der også dengang, hvor han fodrede de og gav mad til de 5,000.
Fact, if you go to Israel,
faktisk så hvis I tager til Israel,
the location of this feeding is not very far from where he fed the other multitude.
Og faktisk hvis I tager til Israel, kan I se at det her område lige her er ikke så langt derfra, hvor han faktisk gav mad til de 5,000.
Oh yes, some time had passed between the last feeding of the multitude and this.
Det kan godt være, der var gået noget tid siden at han sidst havde gjort det her.
But you know, you would think that they would have gotten a clue.
Men man skulle tro, at de nok havde fået eller forstået budskabet.
Or something stirred in their mind.
Eller et eller andet, som begyndte at gå op for dem, et lys op for dem.
Didn't we go through this before?
Hvor de så kunne have spurgt sig selv, har vi ikke oplevet det her en gang før?
And one of these great guys,
og en af de her store fyre,
could have said, hey Jesus,
kunne godt have sagt, hey Jesus,
you did it before, you can do it again.
Du har da gjort det før, kan du ikke gøre det igen?
But they go, we don't know.
I stedet for så spørger de, det ved vi ikke.
We don't know what you're going to do.
Vi aner ikke, hvad du har tænkt dig at gøre.
So what does he do?
Så hvad gør han så?
He asked them, how many loaves do you have?
Så spørger han dem, hvor mange brød har I?
They said 7.
Så svarede de 7.
Now, how many disciples were there?
Hvor mange disciple var der?
12.
Der var 12.
That means 5 were coming up short.
Det vil sige, der manglede 5.
Could you see Peter in the back going, psst, John, can I have half of your loaf? I don't want to look bad here.
Kan du forestille dig, Peter står og visk til Simon, kan jeg ikke låne en af dine brød? Jeg vil ikke stå og mangle her.
It's just my imagination.
Det er bare min egen fantasi.
So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground.
Så han befalede skaren om at sætte sig ned på jorden.
He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude.
Og han tog de 7 brød og takkede og brød dem og gav dem til sine disciple for at de skulle dele dem ud, og de delte dem ud til skaren.
They also had a few small fish.
De havde også et par småfisk.
Having blessed them, he said to them to set before those as well.
Og han velsignede dem og sagde, at de også skulle dele dem ud.
So they ate and all were filled.
Så spiste de, og de blev alle sammen mætte.
And they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments.
Og de stykker, som de kunne samle sammen bagefter, var til over 7 kurve fyldt.
Now those who had eaten were about 4,000.
Der var omkring 4,000 til stede, som alle spiste.
And he sent them away.
Og han sendte dem bort.
Look at the story. This is so amazing.
Prøv at kigge på den her historie. Det er utroligt.
Jesus asked, "What do you got?"
Og Jesus spurgte dem, "Hvad har I?"
7 loaves.
7 brød.
Few fish.
Et par små fisk.
Give them to me.
Giv dem til mig.
He takes it.
Så tager han dem.
Has them gather baskets up.
Og får dem til at samle
They come before him.
Og de kommer hen til ham.
He starts breaking the bread off and putting it in the basket.
Han begynder at bryde brødet og lægge det ned i kurvene.
About the size that each person should have.
Omkring den størrelse portion, som hver person skulle have.
But because God's good, a little more.
Og fordi Gud han er god, så får de en lille smule mere.
Remember I told you earlier that God works supernaturally in a natural way?
Kan I huske, jeg sagde tidligere i dag, at Gud han arbejder overnaturligt på en naturlig måde?
We don't see here in the Bible.
Vi ser ikke her i Bibelen.
That Jesus said to the disciples.
At Jesus sagde til disciplene.
Let's really get into some heavy prayer now.
Lad os virkelig gå ind i nogle fordybede bønner.
And have everybody be in the spirit right at the moment.
Nu skal vi alle sammen være i Helligånden.
And let's have everybody focus. Miracle is going to happen.
Lad os alle sammen fokusere på, at nu skal der ske et mirakel.
Here it comes. Nothing behind my back.
Nu kommer det. Der er ikke noget bag ryggen.
More bread.
Mere brød.
Just fling it out to him.
Og begynder at kaste ud til dem.
He just took it and broke it.
Han tog det bare ganske enkelt og brød det.
Put it in the basket until the basket was full.
Og lagde dem ned i kurven, indtil de var fyldte.
Peter runs off.
Og så løber Peter afsted.
Fills the next basket.
Så fylder Jesus den næste kurve.
John runs off.
Johannes
he runs fast,
afsted.
He gets 2 baskets.
Og Johannes han løber stærkt, så han får 2 kurve.
Next basket, Bartholomew and so on with the rest of them.
Og så får Bartholomeus også en, og de andre får også en kurve.
After they come back, they said, "Hey, we handed all the bread out." He says, "Okay, you got any fish?" "Oh yeah, a couple pieces."
Og så kommer de tilbage og siger, "Vi har delt alt brødet ud. Hvad har I ellers?" Og så får de nogle små fisk.
Takes the pieces and starts breaking them off.
Så begynder han at dele fiskene ud.
Fills up the basket, they run off and feed the people.
Fylder igen kurvene, og så løber de ud og deler dem ud til menneskene.
And now he says to them.
Så siger han til dem.
Make sure everybody's full.
Sørg for, at alle bliver mætte.
In fact, the word in the original language means filled up to really full.
Faktisk så betyder det originale ord, der er brugt her, at man bliver helt overmæt.
Here's the way I describe it to people in my congregation.
Det her, det er den måde, jeg beskriver det på til folk, som er i min kirke.
We have a holiday in America called Thanksgiving.
Vi har en helligdag i USA, som hedder Thanksgiving.
It's a day when we get family and friends together.
Det er en dag, hvor vi samler familie og venner.
We fix a big turkey.
Og vi laver en stor kalkun.
Potatoes.
Og kartofler.
Sweet potatoes.
Søde kartofler.
And we have beans and we have rolls.
Og bønner og forårsruller.
And more beans and rolls.
Og flere bønner og forårsruller.
And cranberries.
Og bær. Tranebær.
And after that, pumpkin pie.
Og noget tærte.
And apple pie.
Og æbletærte.
And we have stuffing in the turkey.
Og vi fylder kalkunen.
And we ladle it on, pile it on the plate.
Og vi stabler det op på tallerkenen.
People are eating two-handed.
Og folk de spiser med begge hænder.
And then they push away from the table.
Så skubber de sig langsomt væk fra bordet.
And go, I can't eat another bite.
Og udbryder, jeg kan simpelthen ikke spise mere.
I can't even get up.
Jeg kan ikke engang rejse mig.
I'm so full.
Jeg er så overmæt.
That's the word here.
Det er også det ord, der er brugt lige her.
They were really filled up.
De blev virkelig fyldt og mætte.
And they gathered all the pieces up and they had 7 big baskets.
Og de samlede alle de resterende stykker til os, og så fik de 7 kurve helt fyldte.
How much did Jesus start with?
Hvor meget begyndte Jesus med?
7 loaves.
7 brød.
The loaves that Jesus used are like pita bread.
De brød, som Jesus brugte, er ligesom peterbrød.
They're only about this big around.
Og pitabrød, de er så cirka så store.
And about that thick.
Og så tykke cirka.
But they came back with bushel baskets.
De kom tilbage med kæmpe store
filled with leftovers.
Proppet med rester.
Biblically,
Bibelsk set,
the number 7
at tallet 7
is an important number.
Meget vigtigt tal.
It is the number of completeness.
Det er fuldstændighedens nummer eller fuldendelse.
You think of a week.
Du tænker
7
på
uge, days in a week. God completed his work of creation.
Gud han fuldbragte sit skaberværk på 7 dage.
And here God completed a work.
Og her der fuldbragte eller Gud også et arbejde.
More than anybody could handle.
Mere end der var nogen der overhovedet kunne tage.
Now, keep that in mind.
Prøv at gemme det i jeres sind.
But look at the next verse.
Mens I husker på det, så prøv at kigge på det næste vers.
And he left them and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side.
Og han gik fra dem igen og gik ombord i båden sammen med de andre disciple.
Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread.
Og disciplene havde glemt at tage brød med.
And they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat.
De havde kun ét brød med i båden.
One pita bread.
Et stykke pita brød.
12 guys.
12 fyre.
One pita bread.
Et stykke pita brød.
And he charged them.
Og så befalede han dem.
Saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.
Giver jagt for falskheden for farisæerne og for de skriftkloge.
Yeah. That's what he said.
Det var det, han sagde.
Leaven of the Pharisees.
Surdejen for farisæerne.
Leaven of Herod.
Surdejen for,
And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread.
De argumenterede imellem sig selv, at det er fordi, vi ikke har nogen brød.
God's purposes.
Guds formål.
Man's ways.
Og menneskets måde.
Jesus is speaking about spiritual things.
Jesus taler om åndelige ting.
They're worried about their tummies.
De sidder og tænker på deres maver.
But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them.
Men Jesus, han var klar over det, så han sagde til dem.
Why do you reason because you have no bread? Did you not yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened?
Hvorfor taler I om det, I ikke om det er, fordi I ikke har brød med? Kan I ikke fatte eller forstå, at jeres hjerte stadigvæk så forhærdet?
Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?
Kan I ikke se, skønt I har øjne, og kan I ikke høre, skønt I har ører? Husker I ikke?
When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?
Da jeg brød de 5 brød til de 5,000, og hvor mange kurve fyldt, var der ikke tilbage, da jeg var færdig med det?
And they said to him,
og så sagde de til ham,
12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?
Og han fortsatte, eller dengang med de 7 brød til de 4,000, hvor mange kurve fyldte af stykker samlede I ikke da?
And they said,
så indrømmede de,
7.
7.
So he said to them, how is it you do not understand?
Så spurgte han så, hvordan kan det så være, I ikke forstår det her?
What is the implication here?
Hvad det, han hentyder til?
You got one loaf.
Jeg har et stykke brød.
I could fill this boat.
Jeg kunne fylde den her båd, hvis jeg havde lyst.
If that's what I was talking about.
Hvis det var det, som jeg talte om.
I'm talking about heavenly things.
Jeg taler om himmelske ting.
I'm talking about spiritual things.
Jeg taler om åndelige ting.
I'm warning you about something that has to do with the kingdom.
Jeg advarer jer omkring nogle ting, som har med kongeriget at gøre.
And you're thinking the ways of man.
Og I sidder bare og tænker på menneskets vej.
You're not understanding.
I forstår I ikke.
I have to tell you.
Jeg er nødt til at sige til jer.
Sometimes I see myself in that boat.
Jeg vil indrømme, at nogle gange så ser jeg mig selv i den båd.
Sometimes God wants to talk to me about something that's really important in His Word.
Nogle gange så vil Gud gerne tale til mig omkring nogle ting, som virkelig vigtige i Hans ord.
And I'm more concerned with things of the world.
Men jeg bekymrer mig mere om ting i verden.
What will I eat that night?
Hvad skal jeg spise i aften?
How will I take care of this thing?
Hvordan skal jeg ordne den her ting?
How will I work on the car or whatever else?
Hvordan skal jeg arbejde på bilen eller et eller andet?
And God's saying, don't you realize I'm trying to give you something eternal?
Og Gud siger, kan du ikke forstå, at jeg prøver at give dig noget, der har evig værdi?
I'll take care of the other part.
Jeg skal nok tage mig alt det andet for dig.
In verse 22 we're told, then he came to Bethsaida and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him.
Så kom de til Bethsaida i vers 22 og førte en blind hen til ham, og de bad ham om at røre ved ham.
And again we have a situation like before.
Og igen, ligesom før, der har vi en situation,
where this man was touched,
hvor den her mand blev rørt,
and the man was healed,
og manden blev helbredt,
because he understood the purposes of God,
fordi at han forstod Guds formål,
and didn't get hung up in the traditions of man,
og ikke hængte sig så meget i mænds traditioner,
or the ways of man,
eller menneskets måde og tankegang.
After Bethsaida, he then heads up north. Bethsaida is not too far from Capernaum, on right on the Sea of Galilee.
Og efter de tog fra Bethsaida, som ligger tæt på Capernaum,
he takes his disciples away for another rest.
Så tager han hans disciple lidt væk igen for at kunne hvile sig.
From the Syrophoenician woman to now is about 6 months' time has elapsed.
Fra den syrisk-fønisiske kvinde var der omkring 6 måneders tid der var gået forbi.
Even though Mark tells us immediately.
Selvom at Markus her skriver øjeblikkeligt.
As they're there, he asks them the following question.
Og mens de er der, så spørger han dem de følgende.
Who do men say that I am?
Hvem siger folk jeg er?
Some say Elijah, others John the Baptist, and another one a prophet.
Og de svarer, der er nogen, der siger Elias eller Johannes døberen, og så er der andre, som også siger, du er en af profeterne.
And then he says, but who do you say that I am?
Så spurgte han så, men hvem siger I, at jeg er?
And Peter,
og Peter,
I like to call him Apostle Hoof in the Mouth.
Jeg kan godt lide at kalde ham apostlen med den store mund.
Said, you are the Christ.
Han sagde, du er Kristus.
He did good on this one.
Det klarer han meget godt.
We're going to see he gets caught up in his reputation in a minute.
Men vi skal se, han skal nok leve op til sit ry lige om lidt.
And then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him.
Og så forbød Jesus disciplene om, at de ikke skulle sige det her til nogen.
See, he's only 6 months away from the cross.
Fordi der er kun 6 måneder til på det her tidspunkt, at han skulle
korset. And he wants to see how they're faring.
Og han kunne godt tænke sig at se, hvordan de har det, hvordan de klarer det.
Are they grasping it?
Forstår de det, han siger til dem?
Are they understanding it?
Forstår de det virkelig?
Are they really seeing the purposes of God here?
Begynder de at indse Guds formål her?
And he says, what's the word around town?
Så spørger han dem, hvordan er ordet på gaden?
What's the word on the street?
Ja, hvordan er ordet på gaden?
What do people think of me?
Hvad tænker folk om mig? Hvad synes de om mig?
This, that.
Det ene og det andet er alt muligt forskelligt.
What do you think of me?
Hvad tænker I om mig?
Peter,
hvad siger du?
You're the Christ.
Du er Kristus, siger han.
You're the anointed one.
Det er dig, der er den salvede.
You're the Messiah.
Du er Messias.
And Jesus, according to Matthew,
og ifølge Matteus evangeliet siger Jesus,
says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona.
Velsignet er du, Peter.
For flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you.
Fordi det er ikke kød og blod, der har åbenbart det her for dig.
But my Father, which is in heaven.
Men min far, som er i himlen.
Good going, Peter, you answered the question right.
Det klarer du virkelig godt, Peter. Du svarede helt rigtigt.
For Mark's purpose,
for Markus formål,
look at what else happens.
Så se på, hvad der ellers sker her.
Verse 31.
I vers 31.
And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again.
Og så begyndte han at lære dem, at menneskesønnen skulle lide meget og forkastes af de ældste og ypperste præsterne og de skriftkloge og slås ihjel og opstå 3 dage efter.
And he spoke this word openly.
Og det sagde han til dem lige ud.
What Mark means by this word openly,
og det som Markus mener her med ordet lige ud,
is that it wasn't hidden in some parable,
at han ikke skjulte en eller anden lignelse.
It wasn't hard for the disciples to try and figure out.
Det var ikke svært for disciplene at prøve at forstå.
They didn't have to connect the dots.
De behøver ikke at sidde og skulle forene punkterne.
He told them very plainly.
Han fortalte dem simpelthen lige ud.
But he couldn't tell them about what was going to happen.
Men han kunne ikke fortælle dem om det der skulle til at ske.
Until they understood who he was.
Før at de forstod hvem han var.
Now that they have said you are the Christ.
Nu hvor de har sagt til ham at de ved at han er Kristus.
Probably figured you can handle it.
Så tænker han, det kan da godt være, så kan I godt tage det.
And so he began telling them heaven's purpose.
Så begyndte han så at undervise dem om himlens
God's
formål.
Plan.
Guds plan.
But look at the rest of this verse.
Prøv at kigge på resten af det her vers.
Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him.
Så tog Peter ham til side og begyndte at irettesætte ham.
Now imagine this in your mind.
Prøv at forestille dig det her.
Peter had just in front of the rest of the disciples.
Peter havde lige stået foran resten af disciplene.
When Jesus had asked, "Who do you say that I am?"
Da Jesus havde spurgt, hvem er det, I siger jeg er?
Some had gone.
Og der er nogen, der måske stod og tænkte, hvad skal jeg svare på det her?
It's a good question.
Det er et rigtig godt spørgsmål.
Others may say, "Well, I think I might know the answer, but if I get this wrong."
Der er nogen, der måske siger, "Ah, jeg tror godt, jeg ved hvad det er, men hvad nu hvis det ikke er det, jeg tror?"
But Peter, apostle, hoof in the mouth.
Og apostlen Peter med den store mund.
Engaged his mouth before he really thought.
Begyndte at tale før han egentlig havde tænkt sig om.
And he got it right.
Og han fik rigtigt svar.
And so Now thinking that he got it right, he hears this next thing that Jesus said.
Og så nu hvor han ved at han lige har svaret rigtigt, så hører han det næste Jesus siger.
And since he's the apostle who got it right.
Og siden det nu er ham der den apostle.
He takes Jesus.
Rigtigt, så tager han Jesus.
Pulls him aside.
Trækker ham til side.
Says, "Hey Jesus."
Hey Jesus.
Now, I'm the great apostle.
Det er jo mig der er den store apostel.
And I got it right who you are.
Og jeg vidste godt hvem det var du var.
And you got to understand.
Og du må lige forstå her.
That is not the way we see the Old Testament talk about a Messiah.
Det er ikke sådan vi forstår det gamle testamente når det fortæller om Messias.
You may have come up with this plan.
Det kan godt være at du har en eller anden plan her.
But you're supposed to sit on the throne in Jerusalem.
Men det er jo meningen at du bare skal sidde på tronen i Jerusalem.
You're supposed to kick off the Roman government.
Det er der skal smide den romerske hær ud.
You're supposed to bring us back to the place where we were at with David and Solomon.
Du skal bringe os tilbage til det punkt hvor vi var med David og Salomon.
And so I'll have none of this talk.
Så jeg vil slet ikke høre på det her du står og siger.
About dying and crucifixion and death and all of that.
Om at dø og blive korsfæstet og ja død i det hele taget.
The traditions and ways of man
in
conflict with the plan of God.
Som går i konflikt med Guds formål og hans plan.
But verse 33.
When
he had turned around and looked at his disciples.
Men da Jesus vendte sig om og så på sine disciple.
Again, think of this story.
Prøv igen at forestille dig den her historie.
Peter saying, "Hey, come on over here. Yeah. Okay, just like this. We'll do. Yeah, come on over here. I need to talk to you a little bit."
Jeg har brug for at tale med dig lidt.
And Jesus turning around and seeing the disciples and what they were registering on their face.
Og Jesus vendte sig rundt og kiggede på hvad det var han så i disciplenes ansigter.
Okay, now you can go back.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. He rebuked Peter.
Så irettesatte han Peter.
Saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men."
Vi bag mig, Satan, fordi du vil ikke, hvad Gud vil, men hvad mennesker vil.
Demon, come out! No, he didn't say that. I'm sorry.
Han begyndte ikke at helbrede eller udkaste dæmoner. Han irettesatte ham.
Because it was again the traditions of man.
Fordi det igen var menneskets traditioner.
The ways of man.
Menneskets måde at gøre tingene på.
In conflict with the purposes of God.
Som var i konflikt med Guds formål.
Then he says in verse 34.
Så siger han i vers 34.
When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also,
og så kaldte han skaren til sig sammen med sine disciple.
He said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
Og han sagde til dem, hvis nogen vil følge mig, så skal han fornægte sig selv og tage sit kors op og følge mig.
For whoever decides or desires to save his life will lose it.
For den der vil frelse sit liv, han skal miste det.
But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will save it.
Men den der mister sit liv på grund af mig og evangeliet skal frelse det.
For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?
For hvad hjælper det et menneske at vinde hele verden og bøde med sit eget liv?
Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Der står, for hvad kan et menneske give som vederlag for sit liv? For den, der skammer sig ved mig og mine ord i denne utro og syndige slægt, skal menneskesønnen skamme sig ved, når han kommer til sin faders herlighed sammen med de hellige engle.
You see, now that he has been revealed to his disciples of who he is, did you notice the change in his methodology?
Fordi nu hvor han er blevet åbenbaret om til disciplen om hvem han virkelig er, har I så lagt mærke til hvordan han ændrer sine metoder?
Prior to this, he was healing.
Før det her så helbredte han.
Prior to this, he was talking about the kingdom.
Før det her så talte han om kongeriget.
Prior to this, he was doing various teachings.
Før det her så lavede han undervisning forskellige undervisninger.
But they didn't include the cross.
Men de havde ikke noget med korset at gøre. Han nævnte ikke korset i de her undervisninger.
Now the focus is shifted to the cross.
Nu skifter han fokus over på korset.
And he says, if you want to follow me, you have to go to the cross too.
Og så siger han, hvis det er, I virkelig vil følge mig, så er I også nødt til at gå til korset.
The purposes of God.
Guds formål.
The ways of man.
Menneskets måde at gøre tingene på.
The ways of man are to hold on to life.
Mennesker kunne godt tænke sig at holde fast på deres liv.
The ways of man are to amass what we can for this life.
Og menneskene, de ser på, hvad kan vi udrette i det her liv?
The purposes of God is to lay down our life.
Men Guds formål er, at vi skal kaste vores liv ved hans fod.
The purposes of our God is to cause us to follow in his footsteps.
Og Guds formål er, at vi skal følge i hans fodspor.
It is all the same part of the pattern. Do you see that?
Det er alt sammen en del af det samme mønster. Kan I ikke se det?
That once he has now been revealed as the Messiah.
Fordi nu hvor han er blevet åbenbaret som Messias.
He is trying to get them and us to understand.
Så vil han have dem og os til at forstå.
That the purpose of God is different than the ways of man.
At Guds formål er fuldstændig anderledes end menneskets måde.
Now as we move into this next section.
Og mens vi bevæger os ind i den næste afsnit.
He gives a word of encouragement.
Så giver han et opmuntrende ord.
He says assuredly.
Han siger, sandelig siger jeg jer.
I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power.
Nogle af dem der står her skal ikke smage døden før de ser at Guds rige er kommet i magt og vælde.
In other words, there are some that are here today who will witness the manifesting of the kingdom of God not being veiled but being unveiled.
Med andre ord så siger han at der er nogen her iblandt os som vil komme til at se Guds rige ikke bare sløret til, men direkte.
Last couple of days, actually on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, I was spending time in Great Britain.
Her de sidste par dage i løbet af mandag, tirsdag og onsdag, der tilbragte jeg noget tid i Storbritannien.
The people that I was staying with in Great Britain.
De folk jeg boede hos, mens jeg var i Storbritannien.
Lived not too far from Windsor Castle.
Boede ikke så langt fra Windsor Castle. Slot.
And they asked me if I would like to go and tour Windsor Castle.
Og så spurgte de mig, om jeg ikke ville med ud og se på Windsor Slot.
I said, sure, why not?
Sagde jeg, jo, det kan jeg da godt.
And so we went over to Windsor.
Og så tog vi over til Windsor.
And as we went walking up the street to the castle.
Som vi kom gående op ad gaden imod slottet.
I asked him a question.
Så spurgte jeg, stillede jeg mig et spørgsmål.
I said, I hear that, you know, this is a real castle that is used on a regular basis.
Jeg sagde til ham, jeg hører, at det her slot bliver faktisk bliver brugt på en ofte.
Oh yes, the queen is here often.
Og de sagde, oh ja, dronningen kommer her regelmæssigt.
And I said, how do you know?
Så sagde jeg, hvordan ved I det?
And they said, you see that flag up there?
De sagde, kan I se den flagstang der?
When that flag is flying, the queen is here.
Når flaget er hejst, så betyder det, at dronningen er her.
I said, oh, the queen is here right now. They said, yes, the flag is flying.
Så sagde jeg, er dronningen her nu? Så sagde de, ja, flaget er rejst.
Now she didn't invite me in for tea.
Hun inviterede mig ikke ind til te.
But I knew that the head of the government.
Men jeg vidste, at det regeringens overhoved.
Was there, and therefore the kingdom was represented at that point.
Var til stede, og derfor var kongeriget repræsenteret på det tidspunkt.
We're going to see in this next section.
Vi skal se her i det næste afsnit.
Verse 2, Jesus after 6 days took Peter, James and John and led them up to a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them.
6 dage efter tog Jesus Peter og Jakob og Johannes med sig og førte dem op på et højt bjerg, hvor de var helt alene, og han blev forvandlet for øjnene af dem.
I'll explain it rather than read it.
Jeg vil hellere forklare det i stedet for at læse det op.
We can go a little faster
that. Så kan vi gøre det lidt hurtigere.
And I'll pull in a few other details from some of the other gospels.
Så vil jeg inkludere nogle andre detaljer fra de andre evangelier.
We're told first of all they climbed up to a high mountain.
Og vi fik at vide for det første at de klatrede op på et højt bjerg.
The highest mountain in Israel is Mount Hermon.
Det højeste bjerg i Israel er Mount eller bjerg Hermon.
I don't know what it is in meters, but in feet it is over 8,500 feet tall.
Jeg ved ikke hvor højt det er i meter, men i fod der er det 8500.
It's a very large mountain.
Et meget stort bjerg.
Jesus took these three with him.
Og Jesus han tog de her tre disciple med sig.
It was a day probably like today.
Det var sikkert en dag ligesom i dag.
Nice and warm.
Dejligt og varmt.
Nice and hot exercise climbing up this mountain.
Det var virkelig hed klatretur.
And they finally get to a spot.
Så kommer de endelig til et sted.
And they sit down to hang out.
Og de sidder sig ned for bare at hænge lidt ud sammen.
The Bible tells us that Peter, James and John began to snooze.
Og så fortæller Bibelen os at Peter, Jakob og Johannes begyndte at sove lidt.
It was a warm day, they were tired from their trip.
Altså, det var jo en varm dag, og de var trætte efter deres klatretur.
But Jesus was awake praying.
Men Jesus han var vågen, og han bad.
And while he was praying, he had two visitors.
Og mens han bad, så havde han to gæster.
Moses and Elijah.
Det var Moses og Elias, som besøgte ham.
When he had these two visitors,
da han fik de her to besøgende,
there was a change that happened with him.
Så var der en forvandling, der skete med Jesus.
The Bible tells us he was transfigured.
Bibelen fortæller os, at han var forvandlet.
Let me tell you exactly what it is.
Lad mig fortælle jer, hvad det præcis betyder.
Transfiguring,
forvandling,
from a Bible standpoint,
fra et bibelsk synspunkt,
is allowing the outside to become transparent so somebody can see what's on the inside.
At tillade, at overfladen bliver forvandlet til en måde, hvor man kan se på, hvad der er indvendigt.
But it's not like the invisible man where you can see the organs inside.
Men det er ikke ligesom den usynlige mand, hvor du kan se hans organer indvendigt.
For you see, what they were seeing at that moment was the glory of God.
Fordi det, de rent faktisk så på det her øjeblik, var Guds herlighed.
That was shining through the physical exterior of Jesus.
Som skinnede ud fra Jesus, hans ydre.
Now Moses and Elijah were there for a purpose.
Og der var en grund til, at Moses og Elias var til stede.
According to what the Bible says, they were there to encourage Jesus concerning his upcoming death.
Bibelen fortæller os, at de var der for at opmuntre Jesus på grund af hans forudstående død.
You see, Moses represents the law.
Fordi Moses repræsenterer loven.
Elijah represents the prophets.
Elias repræsenterer profeterne.
Together they represent all of the scriptures of the Old Testament that had been written that far.
Tilsammen så repræsenterer de det hele af det gamle testamente, som var blevet skrevet på det tidspunkt.
That were pointing to this great work.
Som alt sammen pegede imod det her store værk.
To encourage Jesus.
For at opmuntre Jesus.
Continue pressing forward. You're doing well.
Fortsæt, hvor du er i gang med, du er på den rette vej.
Most of this show was missed by Peter, James and John.
Peter, Jakob og Johannes gik glip af det meste af det her.
But have you ever had a situation where you're sleeping and a light shines and wakes you up?
Har du nogensinde prøvet, at mens du sov, så var der pludselig et lys, som vækkede dig?
Or have you ever had a dream where you feel like you're falling?
Eller hvor du har en drøm, hvor du drømmer, du er ved at falde?
And you put your hand out to hold yourself up.
Pludselig så rykker du hånden ud for.
Or you wake up.
Og du vågner.
This is what happened to Peter, James and John.
Det var formentlig det, der skete her med Peter, Jakob og Johannes.
And as Peter wakes up, he sees the scene.
Og da Peter han vågner, så ser han det, der er ved at ske.
Moses, Elijah, Jesus.
Moses og Elias og Jesus.
And they're all glowing. They're all just shining away.
Og de står alle sammen og skinner et væk.
And hoof in the mouth.
Og Peter med den store mund.
Opens his mouth without thinking.
Åbner igen sin mund uden at tænke sig om.
And he says, "It's good for us to be here."
Han siger, det er så godt for os at være her.
He's safe so far.
Indtil videre så har han det trygt.
Then he gets into trouble.
Men så er det, han kommer i problemer.
Let us build three booths.
Lad os bygge tre alter.
It's good for us to be here. Let us stay here.
Det er godt for os at være her. Hvorfor bliver vi ikke bare her?
Let us not move forward. Let us not do anything else but just live right here.
Lad os bare lade være med at kigge fremad. Lad os være med at gøre noget som helst andet. Lad os bare blive her.
The purpose of God.
Igen, Guds formål.
To encourage Jesus.
Det var at opmuntre Jesus.
For the work of the cross.
For det forestående arbejde på korset.
The way of man.
Og menneskets vej.
Let's stay here.
Bare lad os blive her.
Because these guys look terrific.
Fordi de her fyre ser rigtig godt ud.
And I'm sorry, but look at verse 7.
Prøv at kigge på vers 7.
And a cloud came overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son, hear him."
Og så kom der en sky, som overskyggede dem, og der lød en røst fra skyen. Dette er min elskede søn, hør ham.
Or putting it in my terms,
eller prøv at udtrykke det på min måde.
Peter, close your mouth and open your ears.
Luk munden og åbn ørerne.
Shut up and look.
Hold munden og bare kig efter.
Be quiet and listen.
Tie stille og bare lyt.
Purpose of God.
Guds formål.
Plan of God.
Guds plan.
Way of man.
Og menneskets måde at gøre det på.
Now as we go through the rest of this section,
mens vi bevæger os igennem resten af det
her
afsnit,
we see they come down from the hill,
ser vi, de kommer ned fra bjerget,
and they run into this scene of commotion,
og de løber ind i en masse problemer igen.
In the scene of commotion, his disciples,
og midt i det her virvar, der disciple,
have tried unsuccessfully,
som har prøvet med succes,
to cast a demon out of a young boy,
som har prøvet at kaste en, uden at have succes, har de prøvet at kaste en dæmon ud af en dreng.
Let me set the scene.
Lad os prøve at male det billede her.
You've got the man,
vi har manden,
who has brought his son,
som har bragt sin søn,
You have the disciples.
Du har disciplene.
And of course you have Sadducees and Pharisees.
Du har Sadukæerne og Farisæerne.
And probably these Sadducees and Pharisees followed on the heels of this man with his son.
Formodentlig så fulgte Sadukæerne og Farisæerne lige hælene på ham, manden og hans søn.
They heard Jesus was in the neighborhood.
De havde hørt, at Jesus var i omegnen.
And he could do things like this.
Og han kunne godt gøre ting ligesom det her.
They get to the disciples.
De kommer til disciplene.
And they said, "We want to bring him to the master."
Og sagde, vi vil bringe ham til mesteren, til herren.
And the disciples probably said,
og disciplene sagde sikkert,
"No problem, we can handle it."
Ikke noget problem, det kan vi godt tage os af.
We've hung around with him for over 2 years.
Vi har brugt en masse tid med ham igennem 2 år.
What do you need?
Hvad har I brug for?
I'll set it up for.
Så skal vi nok ordne det.
And so the man brings his son and he says, "Cast out this demon." They go, "Hey, this is no problem."
Og så bringer manden sin søn frem og siger, "Kast den her dæmon ud," og så siger de, "Det er ikke noget problem."
But it became a problem.
Men det blev et problem for dem.
Because they couldn't do anything.
Fordi de kunne ikke gøre noget ved det.
They said, "Come out."
De sagde, "Kom nu ud."
He didn't.
Men det skete ikke noget.
They said, "Come out."
De sagde, "Kom ud."
He didn't.
Der skete stadig ikke noget.
Then the Pharisees get in.
Og så kom farisæerne ind.
Told you they couldn't do it.
Sagde, ja, vi sagde jo, du ikke kunne gøre det.
Then pride gets in.
Så kommer stoltheden.
Oh, come out.
Og kom nu ud.
Pharisees going, "Didn't do it again."
Så farisæerne sagde, der skete stadig ikke
noget. Dad's wringing his hands.
Og faren, han begynder at vride.
Kids flailing on the ground.
Og ungen fruler rundt på jorden.
Pharisees tried again.
Og farisæerne siger, prøv igen.
Disciples going, "Come on, come on, come on."
Og disciplene begynder at panikke.
Nothing's happening.
Der sker ikke noget.
They start looking around for Jesus.
De begynder at kigge ham efter Jesus.
Because they're in over their head.
Fordi at, de kan ikke klare det her selv.
Because they tried it in the ways of man.
De har prøvet det på menneskets måde.
And not on the purpose of God.
Men ikke med Guds formål for øje.
And somebody says, "Hey."
Og der er nogen, der siger, "Hey."
Jesus coming.
Jesus kommer nu her.
They all run to him.
Så begynder de at løbe hen imod ham med det samme.
I'm sorry, my vivid imagination. I see all these guys around. We tried, we really did. I mean, don't believe what he said about us.
Det kan godt være, det er bare min forestillinger, men de løb hen mod ham og sagde, at ja.
Yeah.
You heard him.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, but it's hard to be theatrical and translate the same.
I know.
Okay. So
tell me about
I had to get my whole thing out there.
Yeah.
So he says, "Bring him to me. How long shall I put up with this perverse generation?"
Og Jesus sagde, "Bring ham til mig. Hvor lang tid skal jeg finde mig i den her perverse generation?"
And he probably said, "Come out."
Og han sagde sikkert bare til ham, "Kom ud."
And that was it.
Og det var bare det.
And the disciples.
Og disciplene.
They go, "How do you do that?"
De står og kigger på ham og siger, "Hvordan gjorde du det?"
So they take him aside. They go, "How come we couldn't do that?"
Så trækker de Jesus til side og spørger, "Hvorfor kunne
How
vi ikke gøre
det? Do that?
Hvorfor kan du gøre det?"
And he gave him the answer, but again, it goes with what we've said.
Og så gav han dem svaret endnu en gang, men det hænger lidt sammen med hvad vi har set på.
He said, "This kind only comes out," verse 29.
Han sagde, "Den her type kommer kun ud."
By nothing but prayer and fasting.
Kan kun drives ud ved bøn og faste.
This kind can only be accomplished by working in the Spirit, not in man's way.
Det her kan kun udføres ved at arbejde i Helligånden og ikke ved menneskets egen kraft.
We have limited time, so I can't tell you the whole story of Joshua.
Vi har begrænset tid, så jeg kan ikke fortælle jer hele historien om Josua.
But you remember the difference between the conquering of Jericho and the loss at Ai?
Men I husker forskellen mellem erobringen af
Ai. Well, it's actually the Hebrew is I, but I pronounce it.
I don't know. Hvad er det på dansk? Ja, Ai.
Yeah. Where God had a plan.
Hvor Gud havde en plan.
They followed the plan.
Og de fulgte efter planen.
Walls fall down.
Og murene faldt ned.
They then say, "We don't need God."
Så sagde de så, vi har ikke brug for Gud.
We'll take care of the next town.
Vi skal nok klare den næste by selv.
They got spanked.
Og så fik de tæv.
And they come back and go, "God, why did you do that?"
Så kom de tilbage til Gud og brokker sig. Hvorfor kunne vi ikke gøre det?
Because he said, "You didn't seek me."
Fordi han sagde, I søgte ikke mig først.
You didn't want to know my battle plan.
I har slet ikke lyst til at se min kampplan.
That's what Jesus is saying to the disciples.
Det er det samme Jesus siger her til disciplene.
You didn't pray about it.
I bad ikke før I gjorde
det. You didn't fast about it.
I fastede ikke før.
You didn't seek my plan.
I søgte ikke mig for min plan.
You went in your way.
I gik i jeres egen retning.
You just did it as business as usual.
I gjorde det bare ligesom I tænkte det skulle gøres normalt.
Well, let's finish up here briefly. Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it.
Og så brød de op og drog igennem Galilea, og Jesus ville ikke have, at der var nogen, der skulle vide det.
And it says, for he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he's killed, he will raise the third day.
For der står, at han underviste sine disciple og sagde til dem, menneskesønnen overgives i menneskers hænder, og de skal slå ham ihjel, og han er slået ihjel, og han skal opstå tre dage efter.
And look at verse 32.
Og prøv at kigge på vers 32.
They did not understand his saying and were afraid to ask him.
Men de forstod ikke, hvad det var, han sagde, men de var også bange for at spørge ham.
God's purpose,
Guds formål,
man's way.
Og menneskets måde.
They couldn't get it into their mind that the Messiah would be killed.
De kunne ikke forstå i deres hoveder, at Jesus han skulle korsfæstes.
But they were afraid to ask him.
Men de var bange for at spørge ham.
And so they just didn't bother.
Så de gjorde ikke noget ved det. De gjorde ikke noget ud af at spørge.
And you know how they acted in the garden.
Og I ved jo, hvordan de reagerede i Getsemane have.
Look at the next verse.
Prøv at kigge på det næste vers.
Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?
Så kom de til Capernaum, og så da de var kommet inden for døren, så spurgte Jesus dem, hvad var det, I talte om på vejen?
But they kept silent.
Men de sagde ikke noget.
For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest.
For på vejen havde de talt med hinanden om, hvem der var den største af dem.
Can you see Jesus walking along with his disciples?
Kan I forestille, at Jesus går sammen med sine disciple?
Here he is, he's got his walking stick.
Han har sin vandrestik.
He's making his way back to Capernaum.
Han på vejen tilbage til Capernaum.
They're following behind.
De følger efter ham bagved.
They're walking maybe two by two.
De går måske to og to.
And one says,
og der er en, der siger,
better than you are.
Jeg er bedre, end du er.
I bet you I'll get a better seat.
Jeg tror, jeg får en bedre sæde, end du gør.
No, I'll get a better seat.
Nej, det gør jeg.
You don't understand.
Du forstår ikke.
My mother went and talked to Jesus for us.
Ja, det var min mor, der gik ind og talte til Jesus på min vej.
You don't understand. I'm the older guy.
I forstår ikke, det er mig, der er ældst.
You don't understand. I'm the one who's really knowledgeable. I was a tax collector.
Ja, det var mig, der ved mest. Jeg var
skatteindsamler. All the way.
Og de skændes hele vejen til Capernaum.
But not real loud.
Men ikke ret højt. De mumlede bare.
And Jesus gets in and says, "What did you talk about?"
Og kommer Jesus og spørger, hvad var det, I talte om?
Nothing.
Ikke noget.
What did you talk about?
Hvad var det, I talte om?
Who'd be greatest?
Hvem der var den største?
Didn't he just tell them?
Havde han ikke lige fortalt dem?
In the last chapter we looked at that they were to follow him.
I det sidste kapitel, som vi kiggede på, at det var ham, de skulle følge.
And to follow him, they had to die.
Og for at følge ham, så skulle de dø.
To themselves.
Over for dem selv.
And now they're wanting to know who's going to be the greatest.
Nu står de og skændes om, hvem der vil være den største af dem.
God's plan.
Guds formål.
Man's way.
Menneskets façon.
Man says, let me get promoted.
Mennesket ser på, kan jeg få en forfremmelse.
God says, deny yourself.
Gud han siger, fornæk dig selv.
Man's plan says, look at me.
Menneskets plan siger, kig på mig.
God's plan says, look at Jesus.
Guds plan siger, kig på Jesus.
And so we have this whole rebuking of them.
Så vi har hele den her irettesættelse af disciplene.
Because they didn't understand.
Fordi de ikke forstod.
God's plan.
Guds formål.
Versus their way.
Modsætning til deres egen.
Look
formål.
At verse 38.
Kig på vers 38.
We are going to finish this.
Vi skal nok slutte det her.
Now John answered him saying.
Johannes sagde til dem.
Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us.
Han sagde til Jesus, mester, vi har set en, der uddrev dæmoner i dit navn.
And this guy was casting out demons in your name.
Ja, han uddrev dæmoner i dit navn, selvom at han ikke følger med os.
Now, do you find this slightly ironic?
Synes ikke, det er lidt ironisk?
Do you remember what Jesus was doing?
Kan I huske, hvad Jesus han foretog sig?
The beginning of the chapter.
I begyndelsen af kapitlet.
He's up on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Så han er oppe på forvandlingsbjerg.
What were the disciples trying to do?
Hvad var det, disciplene forsøgte at gøre?
Cast out a demon.
Og uddrev dæmoner.
And John's going.
Og Johannes han udbryder.
We couldn't do it. How come he can?
Når vi ikke kunne, hvorfor kunne de så?
I mean, their whole attitude is like, we forbade them to do that because, you know, after all, that's supposed to be our gig.
Hele deres holdning var, at de forbød dem at gøre det, fordi det er jo det, der skal være vores job.
In other words, man's way, it's all for me.
Igen, menneskets måde er at kigge på sig selv.
God's plan, it's all for him.
Og Guds plan, det handler om ham.
And of course, he then goes on and talks to them about the difference between it.
Og han fortsætter så med at fortælle mellem forskellen.
And he basically says to them,
han siger simpelthen til dem,
deny yourself.
Fornæk jer selv.
Take up your cross.
Tag jeres kors op.
Follow me.
Og følg mig.
Lay down your life.
Læg dit liv for mine fødder.
You see, this whole section is a contrast between God's plan and man's way.
Hele det her afsnit er en kontrast mellem Guds formål og menneskets egen vej.
If we were to give a theme, it might be My thoughts, your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Hvis vi skulle give et tema til det, så kan vi sige, at dine tanker er ikke mine tanker.
Your ways are not my ways.
Dine veje er ikke mine veje.
As high as the heaven is above the earth,
lige så højt som himlen er over jorden,
so are my thoughts above yours.
På samme måde er mine tanker hævet over dine.
The encouragement for us is that God gives us a path to choose.
Opmuntring for os er, at Gud han giver os et valg.
We can go after the traditions of man.
Vi kan godt gå efter menneskets traditioner, hvis vi har lyst.
Establishing sacred cows.
Og etablere hellige køer.
Having rules and regulations.
Med regelsæt og
figuring out what's the best way for us to do this.
Og prøve at spekulere på, hvad er det bedste måde, vi kan gøre de her ting på.
And be ineffectual for the kingdom of God.
Men være ineffektiv over for Guds rige.
Or we can choose to follow Jesus.
Eller vi kan vælge at følge Jesus.
Die to ourselves.
Og dø for os selv.
Deny ourselves.
Fornægte os selv.
Love others and build them up.
Og elske andre og opbygge dem.
And walk according to his purpose.
Og vandre i forhold til hans formål.
Which one do you want to choose?
Hvad for en har du lyst til at vælge?
Let's pray.
Let's be.
Father, thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, we would just pray that you would give us ears to hear what you have said to us this evening. That we might learn from the disciples. That we would follow your way. And we would glorify you in it. We thank you so much and we give you praise and adoration now in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
Amen.